Movie.
Hey, MFers, welcome back to another episode of Movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film.
It's a podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film. I'm Nate, and chemistry's the one with the shapes and shit, right?
And I'm Terrell, and better out than in, I always say.
I'm Misha, and I wipe my own butt.
And I'm Max, and life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
That's Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
That is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I don't know anyone else's quotes.
Really? Mine's is super easy.
Yours is another Adam Sandler one, but I can't place it.
It's actually a Mike Myers one.
Oh, Austin Powers?
No.
Wayne's World?
No, we just watched it.
We just watched a Mike Myers movie?
Yeah. It's Shrek 2, guys.
Oh.
Oh.
I forget. I don't think of that as a Mike Myers movie, but it is.
It is, right? Yeah.
It's more of a Shrek movie.
Yeah.
Misha, what was yours?
I thought mine was so obvious.
I wipe my own butt. Is that
Big Daddy's voice? Yeah.
Okay.
I knew there was an Adam Sandler movie in there somewhere.
Nate, is your School of Rock?
No, but I was thinking about that. Mine is 21 Jump Street. I picked another one where it's like adults going back to school. Because today we're doing Billy Madison.
Yeah.
And my brother and sister, Misha and Max, are here.
Welcome. Round of applause for the family.
It's an honor.
It's my mom's birthday this week, and I wanted to surprise her with all her children on her favorite podcast.
Oh, that's very special. Very sweet.
But Mark Maron never responded to my emails, so we had to settle for movie, film.
Happy birthday, Mom.
We are going to be going right into Billy Madison today, but first I want to explain why, and that's because patreon.com/moviefilmpod is the new home of The Rundown. And if you support us for $2 a month, you'll get 4 episodes a month.
Mm-hmm.
Get to hear about everything we watched this week.
Mm-hmm.
React to some trailers.
Yeah.
Some movie news.
Yeah.
So join the movie film fam at patreon.com/moviefilmpod. We really appreciate your support. And with that, let's hear the trailer for Billy Madison.
Suntan lotion is good for me.
He was born into privilege.
Oh, really, poor? Really?
And stood to inherit a fortune. But for 27-year-old Billy Madison, there's just one problem.
How could I hand over my company to someone who couldn't even get through school?
That's nice.
Billy is not an idiot.
Give me one more chance. I'll prove I can take over. First grade through 12th grade, all over again. And then I get to take over Madison Hotels.
You're on.
I want you all to meet Billy.
Hello, Billy.
No!
Don't you think it's a little pathetic that just because of who your father is, you get to come to school all over again?
Yes, I do.
I think he's retarded or something.
Good morning, class. So let's all open up our reading is fun books to page 69.
69. Where's Billy?
He's in school, man.
So what's it like being back in school?
I don't know, I kind of feel like an idiot sometimes. Although I am an idiot, so it kind of works out.
Universal Pictures presents...
Norman Invasion of England.
1066.
That is correct.
Adam Sandler.
I am the smartest man alive!
Spanish Armada.
1466. 67.
Billy Madison.
1469. 1514. 1981.
God! Give me the answer!
Billy Madison is a 1995 American comedy directed by Tamara Davis. It's the one where Adam Sandler goes back to school.
Yeah.
This was like... Wait, is it even rated R?
It has to be.
Yeah, it's got to be.
No,
right?
It's PG-13.
There's only one F word. There's only one.
Yeah,
fuck
maybe.
You.
I don't know, but it was like the one adult comedy that we had on DVD for some reason.
We watched it all the time.
Yeah. So you guys have a special relationship to Billy Madison.
Wait, Misha, what? You're shaking your head.
We did not have it on DVD. We had it on VHS.
Oh, at some point I bought it on DVD, though, because I do have the DVD. But I believe you. Remember we had the VHS rewinder? It was like its own machine that just rewound tapes faster. Those were
so
the days.
So you watched Billy Madison again?
Yeah, a lot of families were Happy Gilmore families, but we were a Billy Madison family. I didn't see Happy Gilmore until much later.
Yeah, this was like the original Adam Sandler movie for me.
Mm-hmm.
It holds a lot of weight.
Nice. This is my first time watching it.
Yeah, I was excited.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wow.
This
did
is
you
like
watch
a
it
staple
together?
For a lot of people. Yeah, we did watch it together.
Twice.
Yeah, twice.
You could have taken notes the first time we watched, but I wanted you to just enjoy it.
No, yeah, I definitely had to like watch it and enjoy it.
We drank a little bit the first time we watched it. I was worried that you wouldn't like it, so I wanted to get you drunk.
It's a smart plan, because when it first started, I was going to be honest with you guys, I was a little worried.
Yeah, that's fair.
I was very worried. I was just like, oh no, if this is going to be like Adam Sandler's thing the whole time, it's not going to happen for me.
Yeah.
But it does like change, and he does grow, and I like a good story like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has a little bit of plot. I'm sure we'll get into that more later. But, it's Sandler's show, though.
Yeah.
We are moving the rundown to Patreon, as previously stated. But we're keeping Crew Love on the main feed. So, just want to point out some people that were on the crew of Billy Madison that worked on other movies and films covered on Movie, Film. And this is I'd like to mark this occasion because mm-hmm. it took 111 episodes. We finally, I think it was like episode 9, we did Paul W.S. Anderson's second movie.
Right.
Like we did a director
twice. We did
two,
like, very
him.
Quickly.
Yeah, it took 111 episodes for us to do a female director.
Twice. This is funny because this is also like, I want to say exactly a year later.
Yeah, it was around this time last year that we did Tamara Jenkins's Half-Baked.
Yeah.
Which many people think of as Dave Chappelle's Half-Baked, I guess.
Yeah.
But she directed that and mm-hmm. this. Kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Also, production designer Perry Blake worked on Half-Baked and Billy Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, co-editor John Gilroy did Nightcrawler.
Oh,
yeah.
Came back.
So that cutthroat, quick editing of Nightcrawler, you can maybe see the early forms of that in Billy Madison. Okay, that's it for Crew Love.
So this is your mom's favorite movie?
No.
Okay.
My mom's favorite movie, I don't know. It might be Stranger Than Fiction or My Cousin Vinny.
Or Nicolas Cage in Family Man.
Oh, she does love that. Have you seen that?
No.
It's a very sad Nicolas Cage movie. It's like the saddest Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh, she loves it.
Yeah. Okay, let's begin.
Okay.
We get the old school Universal Studios logo, but it's not like we've done movies where they use the old logo to like do a period piece.
Mm-hmm.
But this is it was the 90s. Yeah. And we start off, our first image is of the fountain in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy's floating, singing the suntan lotion song, and squirts a little smiley face.
Yeah, on his nipples and on his belly.
Yes.
Before we get that, though, we get what I think is like the beginning of an amazing background music and soundtrack.
Mm. Yeah.
Da, 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 da. So good.
I was singing along with it today. It is a good score.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. Billy thought he had something to do today, but he already drank 5 daiquiris, so it's not that.
Right.
Says what day? Yeah, Misha? Step in.
I have a question for everyone.
Yeah.
He maybe drank 5 daiquiris and might be drunk, but don't you think that they just didn't talk about casual drug use in the 90s, and he's not actually drunk. He's definitely very, very stoned.
Okay. Yeah, I had a question about this, too. I mean, they say he fell asleep in the sun, so it could just be, like,
sun poisoning.
He's fried, but, yeah, he's probably drunk and stoned. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't talk about drug use that much, but they did, like, they had no problems with, like, really inappropriate relationships and casual homophobia, racism.
Yeah, so much.
And the likes. But drugs, no.
And beer wouldn't make you hallucinate.
Yeah, we'll get to that. First, Nudie Magazine Day, though. What day is it? October. Nudie Magazine Day.
Yeah.
So I love in like wacky comedies, the opening credit sequence. It's a common thing where it's the main character is late for something or is in a rush.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see them like rush through their environment. In this case, it's he's drunk and possibly stoned riding around on a golf cart.
Ooh, you're a quick one.
Yeah, the guy gets out of the way, drives right over the flower bed, and the gardener just stares at him.
Yeah, messing up his work.
Yeah, he gets to the mailbox and gets all his nudie mags.
And his obscure mags, too.
Yeah, wouldn't he choose the subscriptions? But he gets, like, women over 80.
Drunk chicks.
Is, like, a transphobic one, I think. And drunk chicks, which is his style.
Yeah, his favorite. And then he puts down the magazine for a moment, and then he sees the penguin. So he's hallucinating.
Yeah, I guess so. Or he's been out in the sun.
Yeah.
I guess you don't see penguins when you drink.
I've never had that happen to me from being out in the sun too long.
So
that's got to be, like, extreme.
So what do you think? LSD?
No, I mean, I'm not doubting that it's the sun, but that's a lot of sun to take in.
Yeah. Misha, you think LSD?
Yeah, I think acid or mushrooms.
Okay. Okay, Billy. He can afford it.
He can.
He can, that's true.
The opening credits stop when he gets to the mailbox and looks at the magazines and sees the penguin. And then he starts chasing the penguin and the opening credits, like, continue. But I like how it takes, like, a little break. He chases the penguin all the way to the front door of his mansion, of his papa's mansion. There's some businessmen waiting there.
He collapses right in front of them.
Yeah,
he right in front
does
of
the fall.
The company.
As he's, like, running towards the penguin's, like, doing a motion, like, no, like, don't come here. As if the penguin was looking after him. And he yells, like, call the zoo right away.
Do we have any idea who's in the penguin suit? Is this, like, a fun, like, trivia?
Oh, I wish that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, who's in there?
I have no idea.
Most of Sandler's...
They're very talented.
Well, most of Sandler's friends come up, I guess, throughout the movie. But if one was missing...
Do you want to say it's Rob Schneider?
It's Rob. Oh, that'd be
I think
great.
I want to say it's Rob Schneider.
Yes, the penguin. We meet... So Billy's late for dinner. He's got to run up and take a bath. This is where we meet Juanita, the maid. I alluded to the Juanita character on our Watermelon Woman pod when I was identifying the mammy archetype in movies I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
She got some of your biggest laughs, though.
Oh, yeah, because it was like a big curveball. I didn't see it coming. Like, just like this, like, character who is given jokes to give. You know, and is like a reflection of Billy.
Yeah.
Right? She's not just like subservient. She like raised this kid. She knows his sense of humor. She knows what to say.
And wants to fuck him.
And also like is like pretty dirty.
Find a piece of ass though.
Right? And just like constantly is just like under her breath, like hitting on him and like very loudly hitting on him as well. It's very funny. I mean, I like the way they did that.
Young Adam Sandler is pretty attractive.
He's a handsome man.
Yeah. We meet Eric and Carl. They're at the big business dinner, groveling about Triscuit crackers.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Triscuit's got a shout out.
Yeah, we grew up with Billy Madison and with Triscuit crackers in our house, so that joke really landed. And then we get the shampoo conditioner scene.
Oh, yeah. Everyone is downstairs waiting for him, and he's upstairs talking to his shampoo bottle and his conditioner bottle, being Billy, doing those voices.
So should we have the debate here? Which is better? Is shampoo
great
better,
question.
Or is conditioner better?
Oh, conditioner's better.
I gotta give it to shampoo.
You can shampoo and not condition, but you don't want to condition and not shampoo. Conditioner feels better.
I would say that you can condition without shampooing.
Can you?
I would say your head is maybe a little dirty.
No.
Because conditioner doesn't clean it.
What does conditioner do?
Conditions it.
It conditions your hair.
It makes it silky and
moisturizes your hair.
Maybe a better question, did they have two-in-ones back in the 90s? I have a two-in-one conditioner. Is that the best?
I use one of those two, and it's definitely not the best.
It's not the best. Definitely.
We're not supposed to be.
You definitely want it separate, yeah.
I just have a giant pump bottle from BJ's, though. Stop looking at me, Swan. A lot of this podcast is just going to be listing jokes that are in Billy Madison.
Well, it's amazing. This scene, this shampoo conditioner scene, which is like one of the classic scenes of the movie, comes, 10 minutes in, and every scene preceding is just joke after joke after joke. Like, the one-liners just keep coming. The Triscuits line to the get out of your swan, it's just packed, the first 10 minutes of this movie.
Yeah, they begin dinner, but Brian Madison, Billy's father, I feel like he should have been William Sr. If I were writing that script, I would make Billy, like, he's Junior.
And then Junior.
It's William Madison, whatever. Right. Brian, Billy's father, and hotel magnate, is ready to eat, but Billy's not there. All his business associates are, though.
Mm-hmm.
Billy comes in late. Makes up for lost time by slurping the soup.
Right away, instantly. Just the loudest slurping you ever heard.
Just like trying to get it through very quickly.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring this up again, but I mean, everyone loves to praise Adam Sandler's acting when he does like Punch Drunk Love or Uncut Gems.
Mm-hmm.
But I really love, and specifically with regards to eating, how he performs the character of Billy Madison. With food, he just eats so quickly, like a child.
He is a child.
He harasses the man next to him, like saying he can stay here with me, and then like starts gnawing on his arm.
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. But it's still funny.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of get the sense that like everyone around the table has seen Billy's antics before. Like the guy whose gnaw was being... Whose arm was being gnawed. It didn't even look surprised.
Yeah, he didn't flinch or anything.
He also just had to let it happen because it's the boss's son. Yeah. Eric, played by Bradley Whitford, is making faces at him trying to get Billy riled up.
And it works.
It works. And even though Billy said no gibberish tonight, the gibberish does come out.
Yeah.
Max, I think you know it, right?
I'll pass if Misha wants to jump in. But it is just another example. Like the dad says, no gibberish tonight, meaning this has to be like an occurrence that happens all the time. Yeah, he keeps inviting his son to these dinners.
Right.
And he like barely knows English, but very well versed in gibberish. Billy and the boys go out for dinner. Misha, did you have something? All right. Just unmute yourself and come in whenever you got something. Meg Ryan or Jack Nicholson?
I like the setup of that because he goes, Jack Nicholson now or Jack Nicholson 1974? And then he still goes with Meg
and
Ryan.
It is Nicholson in his prime, but he still goes with Meg Ryan. It's funny because Sandler ended up working with Nicholson in Anger Management later on. I would also choose Meg Ryan.
Just putting it out there.
Yep.
I don't know. When I first saw it, I was just like, Once they said 1974, I was just like, Jack.
He's so unhinged, though.
I know.
Well, was it Meg Ryan then, or?
I guess it was
like 1990 Meg Ryan.
Yeah, like prime Meg Ryan.
Meanwhile, we get a billiard scene. Usually with the billiard scene, it starts with the pool cue making contact with the ball, and that's like that sound opens up the scene. But first, Carl gets a line about Billy inheriting the company. I think he'll be fine. Then he hits the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find any like small movie things to bring up so this isn't just listing all jokes. Yes, Max?
I had a question about Carl here, because this is where we first really learn that he's on Billy's side, or for some reason thinks Billy would be competent running the company. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious your thoughts as to what are Carl's motives here? Is he pro-Billy? Is he pro-family? Is he anti-Eric? Is this like a power grab? Like he knows if Eric gets the company,
and it might be a power grab. I think he knows that he's tight with Billy, and that Billy would maybe let him do all the work. Maybe he doesn't know that he would end up getting the whole company, but spoiler, Misha's mouthing spoiler. You gotta unmute yourself. Yeah, if you haven't seen Billy Madison, watch it before listening to this. Flaming bag of dog shit scene, though.
Yeah.
This is Jack and Frank and Billy's night out.
Mm-hmm.
The line right before it cuts to that is Billy's dad saying, "Whatever it is, he's my sweet Billy boy. Whatever it is you're looking for, I hope you find it." And then it cuts to Billy saying, "Oh, there's a nice piece of dog shit." So that's what he was looking for.
Old man Clemens.
Yes.
And his wife warns him. His wife even has the foresight to say, "Don't put it out with your boot."
I like that moment because you would feel really bad for the old man that they're picking on if he weren't a jackass to his wife right before stepping on the dog shit.
Yeah, his stomping on it is only out of spite.
Yeah.
And who do you think cleans that boot? We all know
who cleans it. I bet he doesn't even take it off before he walks back in the house. Just has a trail of boot shit prints in the house.
He called the shit poop.
Now Billy gets home and joins Eric and Carl. I love the costuming throughout the movie, but this scene particularly, this is the raggedy sweater. It's just a nice like encapsulation of the character of Billy Madison. Like he inherits this formerly nice thing, the sweater. You imagine it came in one piece. It's probably a high thread count or however you trace the quality of sweaters, but it's all cut up and it's like punk rock and he has his own style, but
yeah, Billy definitely has style.
Yeah
It sort of looks like a baseball uniform or like I don't know,
kind of. They're talking about how they don't think Billy can take over the company,
and how Brian, the dad, is going to give it to Eric.
Mm-hmm.
He's the most suitable. But that doesn't sit well with Billy.
No.
Who thinks he is ready to take over the company.
Yeah.
He really doesn't want to see it go to Eric.
Mm-hmm.
And so Billy's dad is just like, how can I give the company to someone who didn't even finish school on their own? Like, I like paid for all your passing grades.
Yeah.
And Billy is surprised, like, oh, what was the word that he misspelled?
Rock.
Rock. R-O-K. Yeah. The C is silent.
And Billy still doesn't. Billy's like, what's wrong with that? R-O-K.
Right.
R-O-C-K.
Still doesn't get it. But he comes up with this brilliant plan that if he can... Brilliant. That if he can graduate first through 12th grade in like a super short amount of time.
2 weeks of grade.
Yeah, 2 weeks of grade that he will be able to take over the company. And his dad agrees.
Yeah, Eric's like, you're going to risk the company on the 64,000 employees of Madison Hotels on this silly game?
Yeah.
And Brian's like, yep.
Yep. Yep.
None of them actually care about the employees. They bring that up a few times, and I just want to call that out. I don't.
Yeah.
They don't care. It's
definitely just something to throw out.
It's a bargaining chip.
Yeah.
So there were two things on my mind on maybe my, I don't know, 80th rewatch of this movie at this scene. The first was I was really curious if the timing adds up. So they say 2 weeks of grade.
I was thinking about that too.
To grade 12. And there's some like milestones here where like we see Valentine's Day. And I was curious. I was taking notes on like the calendar. And it actually, I don't know, Nate, if you got this too, but it works out. They paid attention to it.
So do they start in October?
No.
Was it actually October?
No, it must. So the dad says you have by June 15th to graduate high school. So backing out grades 1 to 12.
It must probably started January 1st, right?
Yeah. So it must have started right after winter break, which is actually logical. The math works out. I was very impressed.
Nice. I'm glad we could have you here.
The second thing, if anyone from Netflix is listening, I have a maybe half-baked idea here. But Brian, the dad, looks at Billy and says, like, what did you think? You were an honor student, like, the first time around? And so I think we should get a Billy Madison prequel where we see him going through the grades, the dad bribing the teachers the first time around.
And is it still Sandler?
I mean.
Oh, yeah, do it like Wet Hot American Summer. Yeah, just do it like that.
Because I was thinking, based on the ending, and I'm not usually a fan of these, but the story does leave an opening for like a 20-year later comedy sequel where maybe he didn't end up going to college, but now he's going to do it.
They could have done Billy Goes to College.
Yeah, they could have.
That's
interesting. So the scene where they come up with the plan, for some reason, ends with a dance.
Really random.
Yeah.
Culture
Club, I'll Tumble For You.
Yeah.
Cool song.
I'll Tumble For You.
That's my favorite part of the whole movie.
Yeah.
didn't you hear the song start dancing? On the stairs. I have a memory of this.
I've definitely done it before. Maybe not accurate shot for shot, but it's a great moment.
Yeah. So it's the first day of school, and Billy's asking Juanita where her snack pack is. And she says, I thought I was your snack pack. And he says, what? She says, nothing.
Nothing.
What a weirdo.
Do we think Snack Pack sponsored the movie?
Is that, it's a real brand?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Snack Pack.
It comes up quite a lot.
Yeah, and they show it.
I guess that's product placement.
Yeah.
They got that pudding money.
Pudding in the 90s? Yeah, they had that money.
Well, what are the other snacks that could have, like, who was bidding for, like, the...
Jell-O.
Dunkaroos, I guess?
Yeah.
Fruit by the foot.
Well, do we think Triscuits?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Lunchables.
Yeah, that's true. They had choices.
Now Billy's waiting for the bus, and we get our back-to-school song.
Which I think we sung... Every, like,
in first day of school.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always wanted to prove to Daddy that we're not. And then the bus starts pulling up, and he says, well, here goes nothing. And it does end up being nothing because the bus just passes him because, yeah, if I were that bus driver and I get to the spot and it's just an adult, you keep driving.
Right. He wasn't expecting Billy.
So he ends up getting a ride from his dad. Which is interesting because he's an adult that can drive himself and does, in fact, drive himself to high school. But for the first day of first grade, he gets the ride from his dad.
Yeah, he's really playing the part here. He's really method.
Yeah.
To play devil's advocate, most elementary schools don't have student parking lots.
Hey,
high schools do.
Good point. Very good point.
He needed a ride.
And this is where we meet Veronica Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
What's that actress's name?
Bridget Wilson.
So Bridget Wilson was in...
She's in
the previously mentioned Paul W.S. Anderson movie Mortal Kombat when it was the second time. The first time we did a director twice.
Yeah.
So she's like the person now.
She's the person.
Anytime we do a director twice, she's in it. Anyway, she's going to be the love interest and the third grade teacher.
Right. I have things to say about that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Right now we just meet her and we see that she looks down on Billy and thinks the whole thing's kind of silly.
Mm-hmm.
But Billy agrees. He has self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like the shot of him walking up the steps into the school. He like looks next to him at the little girl that's walking, like his peer.
Yeah.
And first grade.
First grade, we meet Miss Lippy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But before we meet Miss Lippy, we meet Scotty.
Yeah. Who has beans for dinner.
If you know anything about Scotty, Scotty likes beans.
Yeah.
He does the armpit farting noise while like walking in a circle around Billy. And then Miss Lippy comes in and is like, oh, Scotty loves his beans. He
loves his beans.
And we start off with story time. We brought this up before in movies where there's like a classroom environment. Usually, mm-hmm. like the lesson that's being learned ties into the theme of the movie.
Right.
The puppy who lost his way is no exception.
Yeah.
It'll come back. Right now, it's just Billy getting super into this early childhood book.
Yeah, he gets really passionate about it.
Yeah, everyone, all the children fall asleep, but he's wide awake,
yeah,
waiting for the end.
Mm-hmm. Now it's time for dodgeball.
Yes, and we meet our first O'Doyle.
That running joke is so funny.
Yeah.
And the payoff is like, it was really good. Because, we'll get there.
We'll get to the payoff right now. Little redhead kid throws the ball right at Billy. He gets out, says, oh, Doyle rules.
Mm-hmm.
So Billy goes back inside because he's out. But that's when Miss Lippy has her time.
Yeah, what is she doing? What type of dance is this?
I don't know, but I like how the macaroni necklace is part of the dance, I guess, because when he comes in, she quickly takes off the macaroni necklace.
Yeah, this scene always made me wonder, like, what are teachers doing when the kids aren't there?
Right. Probably, like, eating and complaining about the kids and the administration.
Right. She's a first grader.
I think they're lesson planning.
That too.
She's been pretty busy.
Yeah. So Billy's got to go back out and play dodgeball with the unsupervised children that are running around.
Right. And he's a big, strong man, so he kind of, like, dominates them. It's a little montage of him, like, smashing them with the ball.
Yeah, a little upsetting. I was reading the trivia on IMDb, and apparently the reason it's edited the way it is, where it cuts very quickly after he hits the children, is because, yes, Adam Sandler was really hitting those kids as hard as he could with dodgeballs, and they were, like, falling and crying and getting hurt.
Oh,
that's pretty messed up.
Because Sandler wanted it to look real.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all about that realism.
I suppose, like, throwing dodgeballs would be hard to fake. I'm not saying those kids deserve to get hit.
Right.
It's not cool.
Yeah.
They got paid, but...
They got paid.
Their parents got paid.
Right? The parents were like, you're going to take this one for the team.
Yeah.
Literally.
The first school day is over, and we meet Scotty's mom, who is a MILF before we had the word MILF, and then Billy is cock-blocked before we had the word cock-blocked.
By Miss Lippy.
By Miss Lippy, who comes in. He's like trying to play it off like he's not a student, but then she gives him the macaroni necklace.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first of a few times that Billy's, like, romantic interests are interrupted, and he reacts to them in, like, the worst possible. Like, he is not smooth at all. He just starts, like, speaking very, very aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's also a moment at lunch, I think that same day, where the kids are talking about video games, and they mention Mortal Kombat, which is funny. Billy Madison and Mortal Kombat came out this same year, so it was a really good year for Bridget.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that was a reference to her being Sonya Blade.
Cool.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Billy thinks Donkey Kong is better.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Well, he says it respectfully.
That was like the game when he was a child, I guess.
Yeah.
Makes sense. We get a little Eric villain moment. He's like... playing with a gerbil or a
like
mouse?
A white mouse.
Not really playing. He's like
a lab rat.
He's like poking it. A lab rat, yeah.
Yeah. plotting on how he can eliminate Billy.
Yeah. I like the character Eric. He's definitely no Shooter McGavin, but it's funny. It's funny enough. Very heightened villainous stuff.
That guy plays a good villain.
Yeah, Bradley Whitford.
Yeah, he's a good bad guy.
He's just a good actor.
Yeah.
He's a good guy, too.
Yeah, he is.
Fun bad guy, though. we passed first grade pretty quickly. There's, like, a scene where he's, Miss Lippy's, like, putting glue on her face for some reason.
Yeah, that's a joke. She's trippy.
And then Billy draws a blue duck. And that's how he passed his first grade.
Yeah, that's his final test. He wanted to see a blue duck, so he drew a blue duck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's quacktastic.
And
he has, during first grade, he has a moment with Miss Vaughn in the hallway.
Yes.
Around one of them. Yeah. And one, a line I like from there is she says, "No milk will ever be our milk."
Yeah.
He very quickly.
And then he offers the milk to the janitor, Sideburns, and he says, "I'd rather have a beer."
Which would have been like a perfect opportunity. Okay, this is going ahead a little bit, but we learn that the janitor has a role with Eric.
Right.
He's like a spy. Like, this would have been the one opportunity the janitor had to like get in with Billy, and he just turns him down.
Yeah, he's not a good inside man.
Yeah.
He's terrible, actually.
So we get the first grade graduation party, which includes pinata filled with Rolexes.
Mm-hmm. Clowns.
Eric is participating in the three-legged race with one of the first graders, just
dragging the kid. He cannot lose.
We get a clown on stilts that falls.
Yeah.
We love people with stilts falling in.
Yeah. Stilts falling into cake.
There was another one where that happened. I feel like this is the third time.
Oh, it was Cinderella.
Cinderella,
yeah. It's something about the 90s.
This isn't just falling, though. You see him hit his head and a pool of blood gather underneath.
Yeah. I think in the Cinderella episode, I made my stance clear, though. But man isn't supposed to be that high up. Like Icarus trying to touch the sky, you burn.
But yeah, he seriously hurts himself, and everyone is just laughing hysterically.
I'm cracking up.
Because it's a clown. It's a clown.
Now we get the janitor scene with Eric. He's trying to give some intel, but the first thing he says is he passed first grade, and now he's moving on to second.
Yeah. That's all he's got.
Which Eric already knows. Mm-hmm. He also knows that Billy likes to drink soda, and Miss Lippy's car is green.
Yes.
That's a dead end. All of second grade is
pretty much passed. We pretty much just get to the last day.
We just see the spelling bee.
Yeah.
Couch is hard. I feel for that second grader who thought it was a W.
I feel for that, but then Billy thought there was an R in there.
No, he just wanted to know she was gonna go to the mall.
Going to the mall, right?
Are you going to the mall later? Yeah.
But he figures it out.
He passes, he wins.
He exclaims that he's the smartest man alive.
I love when I'm like watching a picture and then a sound bite will happen and it'll like my brain will like perk up, my ears will perk up and be like, oh, I heard that somewhere. Like it's like been used in music or like it's a reference to something else. And I'm the smartest man alive was used in a music sample.
It's in Immortal by Kid Cudi.
Yeah. Oh, I love
that. So that's fun that you got to watch this and be like, oh, I know that.
Oh, yeah, that's where that's from.
And I got to listen to that Kid Cudi song for the first time and be like, oh, he likes Billy Madison.
Is it Sandler yelling it in the song? Or they just say the words?
No, the song starts out with that clip. You hear Billy saying, "I am the smartest man alive."
Yeah.
I gotta find that. Amazing.
I can send it to you if I remember after we're done recording.
Mm-hmm. So we get another party.
Yeah, he's gonna get a party after every grade.
After every grade.
So
every two weeks. He's getting a party.
At this party, we learn in a conversation between Carl and Eric that Carl started at Madison Hotels as a bellboy at their Philadelphia hotel, and now he rose in the ranks.
Mm-hmm.
They make it just very clear that he's the best person for the job.
All right.
Also, we learn that Carl is, if we didn't already know, we learn here that he's rooting for Billy over Eric, because Eric says, can you even imagine Billy running the company? And Carl says, it could be worse.
Yeah, he looks at Eric and he's just like, yeah, it could be worse. Meanwhile, Billy's sitting on a sprinkler, mm-hmm. just going, ooh, that feels great.
It does, though. It does when you sit on sprinklers.
Third grade. And he's in most with of Veronica. Our time in
third grade.
Yeah, this is the big one.
Yeah.
You get him trying to connect with his classmate by being like, well, first and second grade were easy, but I don't know, social studies, long division, this is going to be hard. And the guy just has like a blank face.
Right.
So he turns to the kid on the other side of him. We meet Ernie. He just repeats himself.
Yeah.
To
him. Yeah. And then the second Veronica walks in.
Mm.
Jackpot.
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't get like an aruga.
It's like class reading time. One of the kids has to read. This is like another sound clip, like another thing I've like
quote to me, Junior.
Yeah, that I'd known from this movie before seeing it. And the kid is stuttering a lot. He can't even get past the first sentence. And so Billy decides to make fun of him, which is not cool. And so Veronica kicks him out of class.
Yeah, right before that, though, before they start reading, Veronica says, we're going to read a story called My Sister Fanny, and the whole class laughs. And then she says, okay, turn your fun books to page 69, and then only Billy laughs. And I don't remember when I got that joke, but it definitely wasn't the first few times I watched that movie. I got to a certain point where I rewatched it and was like, oh, I know 69.
Yeah, and it's the only reason why he's laughing.
Yeah.
Because he's old enough.
So, yeah, Billy makes fun of the stuttering, and Veronica pulls his ear out into the hallway, reprimands him, but mm-hmm. he can't hear her because he's deaf.
Mm-hmm. Back home, Billy and Juanita.
Yeah, she offers to take her shirt off.
Yeah.
She's not feeling good.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, I'll take my shirt off. And he's like, no, I'm good. And she's just like, I want you to know the offer is still on the table.
I did put in my notes that this was your biggest laugh.
Oh, it was? It was just so left field.
Juanita just surprises you.
And she's just like not like just like bashful. At all, like she's like a bit uninhibited,
yeah,
right, and just like is herself, and that's pretty great.
Terrell, you've reframed that character for me a little bit. You mentioned earlier that you're picturing her raising Billy, basically, mm-hmm. and I really like thinking about Billy's sense of humor developing from her.
From her, yes,
yeah, it makes a lot more sense, and it gives me like. Some compassion for him.
Yeah.
Interesting. So now we get to the cursive on the blackboard. It's baseball day. He gets dug out. He gets some other word.
Bunt. Yeah.
But then he can't do Z's.
Yeah. I forgot how to do Z's.
I saw you trying in the
yeah, I was like, how do you do a Z?
It's like the Q, but backwards. Or like, not backwards, but flipped, right?
Yeah, it's like a loop. It's like a double loop.
It's like a capital J, but smaller. I forget cursive. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think I can write in cursive.
Cursive is dead.
Yeah, that's my, crazy. My print handwriting isn't great either.
Cursive was one
this
of the...
This is another place... This is another place where the movie is like stays accurate, though, because I'm pretty sure I learned cursive in third grade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I remember starting in second grade.
Hmm. Well, you went to Barton. We went to Kilmer.
Yeah. That's true. I didn't go to the same elementary school as them.
Oh.
Cursive was one of... So I was trying to track, like, what are the things that if I went back to school, I think I could do successfully, and where would I fall short? And cursive is somewhere that I definitely, something that I definitely could not do. Arts and crafts in first grade, making those the snowmen with the cotton balls, I don't think I could do that either.
But the thing with the cursive is you don't get to school and then you get tested on it. You learn, like, ostensibly Billy was instructed on how to do all the letters.
Right? I don't know if you joined the class late. They might have.
That's true.
Been yeah.
I guess it is the
it's a crash
course. First 2 weeks of February.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's embarrassed.
Yeah, he's laughed out of the class.
Laughed out, and he says he's never coming back.
And so, yeah, he's acting like he's sick, and he doesn't want to go to school. And Juanita goes, hey, if you're going to stay home, you help me shave my armpits.
And that gets Billy to go to school.
Yeah.
And this is where we see that third grade has an O'Doyle as well, and he is shoving a kid in a trash can.
Mm-hmm.
And he rules.
O'Doyle's rule.
O'Doyle rules. Then we meet Principal Anderson, who is substitute teaching the class for Valentine's Day because Miss Vaughn is out. There's the passing the note scene where he has to read, like, now I'm glad Principal Anderson is... Substitute, we get to stare at this tub of, I hope he walks into oncoming traffic.
Right. And the red, the way that it's like red is like real slow. So it starts, it sounds really nice at first.
Yeah.
And then it ends with, he should walk into traffic.
Yeah, it's brutal. Then we get the Valentine gag, where all the third grade girls have the hots for Billy.
Mm-hmm.
But not just the third grade girl.
No.
Right. And then Principal Anderson, P.S., he's horny.
He's horny, yeah.
I love how he takes off his glasses and then nods.
He's like dead serious.
I think this is probably where I learned the word horny.
Yeah. Me too. A little embarrassed to watch this and see how much I learned from it. Also,
Happy birthday,
Mom. I think
this
movie had a bad... left a bad impression on me of like how to act in a classroom setting.
Were you a class clown?
Yeah, I had some behavioral issues and undiagnosed ADD.
Hmm.
And I liked attention. Yeah.
Okay.
And like I don't know how young I watched this. I mean, you two were both young when we first watched it, and I'm younger than both of you. I don't know how young I was when I saw it. But I know, like, going through school, like, I would always think back to Billy Madison, like, okay, this is this part. I don't know. I remember getting to third grade and thinking, no, this is the big one.
that's nice.
And in the next scene, we're just supposed to accept that Ernie's parents dropped off Ernie at Billy's mansion to hang out with his friend Billy.
Yeah.
It's the 90s.
Just starts with them together.
It's the 90s.
Anyone else notice, like, what was out on the table counter?
When I was just about to say that.
A lot of mustard. It's mostly mustard.
And, like, really? Wonder Bread.
Yeah, name all the things. I tried to
There's some bananas, I think.
Yeah.
Caramel corn, relish. There's a lot of mustard. Yeah, it's just a very random assortment.
A lot of condiments.
And this is where Billy peer pressures Ernie into calling Miss Vaughn to see if she likes Billy.
Right. Yeah.
How do we think they got the phone number?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. And they also get the principal's home address later on.
The phone book. They knew her first name. They
I guess
knew
there's a school directory.
Yeah, I guess you have phone books.
The phone book.
Or a thing.
But school directories don't have teachers' home phone numbers, though, do they? I guess back then it was phone number.
It was kind of weird that every year you would get, like, every single person in the school's number and address.
Yeah, I wonder if they still do that. But, like, for, like, this is everyone's Snapchat handle. They're like... Everyone's on TikTok. Field trip.
Mm-hmm.
Bus ride. Chris Farley as the bus driver.
Awesome. Amazing. Fantastic surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, anytime Chris Farley is on my screen, I know that I'm just going to, like, die laughing.
Hmm.
He's so funny.
He packs a punch. He gets, three scenes, but he's one of the most memorable characters.
Oh, the way he does, like, anger.
Yeah, so they're playing Truth or Dare, and someone gets dared to throw their sandwich at the bus driver, and they do it, and he turns so red.
He starts mumbling.
Yeah.
Like, he can't even get the words out. And he just has, like, this swoop. Like, his hair and his sideburns are so, like, appropriate.
Did you quote Shrek 2 because Farley was the original Shrek?
No, but I did know that.
Okay. Yeah, Chris Farley recorded a lot of the dialogue for Shrek, but then died. And then they replaced him with Mike Myers, who gave Shrek a Scottish accent.
Right.
Oh, that's upsetting.
Yeah.
What could have been?
So Billy gets dared to touch his teacher's breasts, and Billy accurately labels that as assault.
Right.
That's assault, brother.
Starts off good.
Do you double dare me?
And so now he's double dared. And so now he has to do it.
Yeah, them's the rules.
Them's the rules. So he goes over there to try and do it. Falls onto her, but she, like, protects herself, you know, arms crossed.
She knew it was coming.
Yeah. Says, I double dare you to sit down.
And in the script, I guess, this character of Miss Vaughn is, like, flattered by that. Because this seems to be trying to decide where the
turn is. Where is it?
Because
this,
remembering the movie, I thought it was when he fakes the peeing pants and he looks good. But right before that, they're hitting it off. Was it the assault?
Yeah, this definitely was the turning point, because we can remember back to when he got pulled by the ear out of class after making fun of the kid's stutter, and that was, like, maybe an overreaction to him behaving inappropriately, and then she doesn't react at all to the attempted assault.
No, she smiles. She's smiles flirting. About it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, weird things happen on field trips, I guess.
They just need to keep the plot moving.
Yeah.
So, bus driver got another snack for the road. Eating a banana, tosses the peel, and the camera lingers on that banana peel, and we don't know why.
Love that.
There's a lot of, like, little things in this movie that get called up or brought up later. Like, you don't think twice about the banana peel. There's the O'Doyles that keep
coming. You think twice when it cuts back randomly to the banana peel in the middle of the movie.
I thought about it. I was thinking about that banana peel for a while, and I was just like, where's this banana peel at? I didn't know it was, like, going to connect with the O'Doyles.
Right.
But I was thinking about it.
Okay. Good.
So
they do it well.
This banana peel. So they don't have their lunches. Why is this a scene? And when did Billy's friends, Jack and Frank, meet the Chris Farley character?
Right.
That was my question. Like, were his friends? Did Billy say, like, come join me on this field trip?
Yeah, and how did the friends get there? They weren't on the bus.
They were just on set. And Chris Farley was just like, hey, let's do this.
The one realistic thing is they would definitely hang back with Farley.
Yeah.
But then Billy doesn't interact with them at all. Once they get back to the bus, the friends are gone.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was written just that it was Farley eating all the lunches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's weird.
The friends are always there, always lurking.
Yeah. Now we get the peed pants scene.
Yeah.
Classic.
This was the turning point for Billy as a character for me.
Yeah.
Probably for everybody as well.
Yeah, this is when we get to see something redeeming.
Yeah. Ernie has peed his pants and he's embarrassed to, you know, get back on
Billy
the bus.
Says, what's the matter? Are you in love with the wall?
And so he sees that his little friend has a problem, and so he quickly goes over to the water fountain and wets his pants, and then convinces all the other little boys that peeing their pants is cool.
Yes, and then we get the line from the older woman, if peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis. And that's how I learned who Miles Davis is.
That's another joke that I definitely did not get but certainly laughed at.
Oh, I got a big laugh out of it this time. Yeah.
The tour guide there is another character that, again, one scene, but she has so many jokes. What does that scene do?
Are there horse socks?
Is anyone listening to me? It's just...
Yeah. I feel like in the Sandler comedies, he's always good at having...
characters.
Specifically elderly people saying funny things.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he goes back to that a lot. I'm thinking of June Squibb in Hubie Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, a Hubie Halloween reference.
Yeah, that one's for Rachel. His wife loves Hubie Halloween. Right?
That's right, yes.
I didn't get that wrong, did I? Okay.
Confirmed.
I don't want to slander.
Sandler movie.
Right? That's bizarre.
That's my wife.
So all the kids have wet pants now when they're getting on the bus. Which is hilarious.
Yeah, Farley's like looking at all the pants as they're walking by. Veronica gets on the bus and he stops Billy so that he can like bend down and try to look up her skirt.
Mm-hmm. Tries to make really immature small talk about how he slept with her, and then how, no, I know someone that slept with her. And then Billy's just kind of shooting him down, being very mature. And then he's just like, yeah, but like, imagine if they did, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you fake pee your pants one time and all of a sudden you're the mature guy.
Yeah.
But I like how they write it, like they get the more immature person right after that to make Billy look good.
Yeah.
With the bus driver character.
So another party.
Farley gets on the bus. Good, great, grand, wonderful. No yelling on the bus. Okay.
We get another party.
Another party.
Yeah.
This one has a band and people breathing fire.
Mm-hmm.
And Scotty's mom is
here. This is a real band.
What band is that?
It's called Nuclear Power Trio.
Ooh.
Did you know that or you looked it up?
I looked it up.
Okay. Because I was thinking about that band. Billy
passed the third grade.
Yeah. Veronica comes in the... Is it a sundress? A white sundress with the parasol?
It's not really a sundress. Is it? Is that a sundress?
It's like a linen, white linen.
Loose, yeah. Yeah.
And the parasol and a giant gift for Billy.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy says she came, and then either Frank or Jack, I don't know which one is Norm MacDonald and which one is the actor I don't know the name of.
Right. One of the friends.
But the non-Norm MacDonald one says, she came, as if he knew Scotty's mom. I guess maybe from the other parties.
Yeah, from the other parties.
And this is where we get her wiping her son's nose and then wiping that used tissue on
her neck and on her bosoms.
Neck and bosom. Yeah.
And instead of the name Scotty's mom, she is now forever known as Mucus Queen.
Yeah, Mucus Queen is yours.
Yeah.
And he says, thanks! Because it's the 90s and... guys can just give women to people. that's a thing in movies. The gift is snack packs.
Yeah, like a...
very thoughtful gift.
Very nice, yeah.
Veronica is actively courting Billy at this point. Is she...
is she?
A gold digger? What if she's gold digger?
Wow.
They don't address it at all in the movie, but it just flips the relationship of her hating Billy to her actively pursuing him.
I don't think she's a gold digger.
I don't know. Teacher salary.
Only because she didn't need to motivate him to pass school in order for him to be loaded.
It would be weird the start. Like, what is she playing hard to get or something at the beginning? I like the theory.
I don't know. It's really weird because it's his last day of third grade, and then she's just like, what do you want to do? And it becomes like this weird, like, come-to-life fantasy of student-teacher, but it's third grade. And also he acts like a child. So
He can't read.
Yeah.
She sees Tale of Two Cities, and he says, I know 9 words in that book.
Yeah.
And then I started counting. The only line from Tale of Two Cities I know is the first one. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. And I only know that because of the Mary-Kate and Ashley movies. Yeah, Misha's counting. So it's like those are like half the words already that he knows.
But yeah, somehow that works for her. And she is like totally into his humor.
She had made up her mind long before she walked into that
tent. Yeah, she had to, coming with a snack pack.
What if she's really just into him the whole time, but she has to wait until he's not in her class anymore?
Whoa. Yeah, she knows he's going to be a student. Okay. Yeah, because in their first meeting, there is like an attraction that is communicated that they're both attracted to each other, but then when she realizes that he's Billy Madison, the guy that's going back to school.
Misha, since you're here on the podcast, would you be attracted to Billy Madison? Like, would you go for that after 2 weeks of knowing him? Thank you. Okay, that's all.
I also don't know if I believe the theory I just presented. I just wanted an alternative to her being a gold digger.
Okay.
No, I mean the real explanation is that she's a poorly written female character.
Yeah.
But yes. But we can come up with our own motivations that the writers weren't motivated to explore any depth.
Mm-hmm.
Eric is scouting the party to figure out who's going to help him take down Billy, and he settles on Mr. Anderson, the principal Anderson, who's in the pool on a floaty, just looking like a doofus, squirting water out of the gap in his teeth. So Carl cock blocks Billy and Veronica.
Yeah, interrupts their kiss.
Yeah, they didn't kiss yet. They were about to. And he mourns of Carl's plotting and does the impression of Carl's hyena laugh.
Mm-hmm. It was a very good laugh. I wonder if he's done any character work like that before. I looked up his filmography on Letterboxd.
Yeah, I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah, he was in like Home Alone. He's the cop from like Home Alone.
He
is the cop from Home Alone.
He's in I know who he is in Breaking Bad. He's that. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who he is. I can picture his face and that character, but I forget. Oh, he's the junkyard guy, right?
I couldn't remember. I just saw.
I think he's the junkyard guy. Anyway. We get that montage, and the first time probably I heard the Jackson 5. Great, great choice for a movie like this to have ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And we go through 4th through 8th grade, I think?
Yeah.
In a montage?
Yeah.
I didn't write down any of the
highlights. That's like a month, right?
Yeah. Or one of the things is we keep cutting back to the way we see which grade he's in throughout the montage is Eric made like a poster board to keep track of it.
Yeah.
So he takes the picture of Billy out and puts him in the desk for the corresponding grade.
Yeah.
Pokes his eyes out with the pencil.
So in 4th grade, we see him in a geography lesson. In 5th grade, we see him playing basketball. In 6th grade, we see him getting checked for lice.
Oh, yeah.
And he puts maybe, I'm not sure, like some
rice.
Baby powder?
Something in his head and freaks out the school nurse. Mm-hmm. 7th grade, we see him burping and that's about it. And then we meet him in 8th grade where we get the Sloppy Joe scene.
Yeah, he's an 8th grader. Well, he's a 27-year-old 8th grader who's eating lunch with the 3rd graders.
Yeah.
Who are his real friends.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the Sloppy Joe's bit is a reference to a song. Adam Sandler has a Lunch Lady song.
That's a big one.
I'm not so familiar with him his and, musical album.
Chris Farley. I think Chris Farley was the Lunch Lady in the skit. Yeah.
Oh, is it SNL skit?
Yes, yeah, SNL.
SNL, yeah.
Yeah.
Slop
yeah, so I only know it as the Billy Madison random Sloppy Joe's moment.
Lunch ladies in the 90s were a big thing, especially in, like, children's programming.
Yeah.
whether they were like super nice or like the like evil or bad disgusting. Guy. Yeah, or disgusting. Yeah, they were a big part of the 90s.
I think there were evil lunch ladies in one of the Captain Underpants books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She definitely seemed like an evil lunch lady.
Oh yeah.
She came in.
You're scaring everybody, lady.
You're scaring us.
This is the other Billy Madison eating moment that I love, because he just grabs the sandwich and like lunges towards it and like eats half of it in one bite.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great scene. I think to that anytime I eat a sloppy Joe, and we had that a lot growing up. I also love that the lunch lady like is right there with them. Like when he says, "You're scaring us, lady," she's laughing up too.
Yeah.
She's just
I just felt like that was like improvised. Is something about that just seems like it shouldn't be there, but it like they left it in because it like it was funny.
Hmm. So it's another party.
Mm-hmm.
This time there's jet skis in the pool, but Principal Anderson is still in there in his inner tube.
Yeah.
Jet skis are causing a wave to form, so he gets flipped over.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to waddle inside to look for the bathroom.
Yep, and Eric sets his eyes on Principal Anderson.
Yeah, Eric's waiting for him with that issue of World Wrestling Weekly.
Mm-hmm. There's a guy in a mask, but he looks strangely familiar.
What did you think of this revolting blob story point? Because it's so random.
Yeah.
They could have very easily come up with something way more believable than a wrestler like hurling somebody at senior citizens.
Mm-hmm. Killing a guy with his butt.
He did that, but he also sat on a guy's head and killed him.
Right.
Via suffocation.
Yeah. So he has a murderous past.
And how could he be doing all that and getting his teaching degree?
Right. So is he a fraud?
Yeah, so Eric's going to blackmail Principal Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Get him to do what he wants.
Yeah, but first, Billy's going to high school.
Yep.
Where there's student parking.
Yep.
So he can drive in on, I don't know what car it is, because I don't know.
It's a Thunderbird. It has to be. Yeah. It's a Thunderbird. It's a Thunderbird.
It's one of those cool guy cars.
Yeah. And he gets out with his rock music playing. And he like has his jean jacket on, and he pops it.
He's got the REO Speedwagon shirt.
Yeah,
they were very big in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably when he was in high school the first time.
Yep, he's peacocking a little bit.
Yeah, great word for it.
But everyone is kind of everyone's kind of laughing at him, and they're talking about, oh, this guy's polluting the air with his car. Like they're very like conscious about that in high school. It's very different.
This always surprised me a little bit. Like, I was trying to put myself in the high schooler's shoes, and I think I'd be, like, a little more intimidated of this guy. I don't know.
The 27-year-old multimillionaire that...
Yeah, wouldn't you want to be his friend?
Freshman class.
No, I think I would laugh at him.
Yeah, I'd be...
I think in high school, I'd have been like, what the hell? I think they had the appropriate response.
Okay.
It's chemistry class.
Mm-hmm.
Chlorophyll, more like borophyll. I have a memory of quoting that in the middle of a science class. And if any of my teachers are listening to this, first of all, how did you get the link for this? How do you know I have a podcast? Flattered. Also, apologetic.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Did his name start with an S, Nate?
Yeah, it was in Mr. Sweeten's class. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Shout out Mr. Sweeten. His outbursts aren't working in high school like they did in like elementary school. The kids, they don't want to be bothered with that. They don't have time for it, you know?
Yeah, no, he's a loser now. If we didn't know he was a loser before, we know after the freshman O'Doyle... now the person O'Doyle's picking on is Billy yet again. Seems like spilling
pudding
or something
soup on his head.
And now we meet the kids that used to get picked on before Billy joined the high school.
Right.
And they see that Billy has loser denial.
Yeah, he's definitely in denial. He definitely can't come to terms with the fact that he's the loser.
I like that they seem so much more confident than they probably were the day before.
Right.
They're not at the bottom of the totem pole anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So Billy goes back to visit third grade when times were easier.
Mm-hmm.
We get that moment of him shaking that one kid's head who says, "I can't wait till I go to high school." And then he shakes, "Don't ever say that. Cherish it."
Yeah, and he's just
stay here as long as you can.
Shaking his cheeks.
How many takes do you think they did of that?
Hopefully
that poor kid must have been so dizzy.
Right.
I love the way he like goes to adjust his hat after Billy lets go of his head. I can relate to that. I remember being in like elementary and middle school and wanting to be an older kid or young adult. Mm-hmm. And I would like being a kid again. Veronica gives Billy some advice.
A little pep talk.
Yeah, pep talk. And it ends with, "Hey, Billy, maybe you were mean to some kids in high school, and maybe you shouldn't have been."
Pretty much. That. Yeah.
So he's going to call, I don't know, does Steve Buscemi's character have a name?
Danny.
He calls Danny.
Danny McGrath.
There we go.
Hey, played by Steve Buscemi.
Mm-hmm.
Who is very casual on the phone. Like, "Yeah, no problem. Don't worry about it."
Yeah, Billy apologizes and he accepts it like very
nonchalantly. And Billy says we should get coffee sometime.
And he says like, "Yeah,
I'd like that."
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Billy hangs up the phone, but we stay with Buscemi, who then the camera pans over to a list that says people I'm going to kill.
Yes.
And he crosses off Billy Madison.
Yeah. Now, when I first saw this, I thought he crossed out Billy's name because he was going to get access to him, and then he was going to kill him.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I thought he was going to kill him, but it doesn't play out like that.
He's nice to me now. I don't need to kill him.
Yeah, that's what it turned out.
So, Terrell, were you expecting like the plot to turn and it now becomes like a murder story of Steve Buscemi going after Sandler?
An attempted murder, at least.
That must have been confusing for you.
we don't need to have Danny then putting on lipstick. It's definitely reinforcing the
stigma
that queer people are psychopaths.
They saw The Silence of the Lambs, obviously, and so they were just like, "Oh yeah, that."
Yeah, I do like the doo-wop song that plays at that scene, though.
Yeah.
Oh, we're releasing audio only, but just for the sake of prosperity. What's the word?
Transparency?
No. What's that word that starts with a P? Not prosperity.
P word?
Never mind. I just want to point out that
posterity.
Posterity. Thank you. I need to go back to high school.
to high school.
My old cat and Misha's current cat, Doctor, is now in the frame, and he looks so adorable. And I couldn't not comment on it. Sorry. Doctor, you got anything to say?
Doctor did a lot of schooling.
Yeah, right. So now this is when we randomly cut back to the banana peel.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember that banana peel? Now it's a little brown. It's a little more brown than the last time you saw it.
Right.
And now it's Billy's freshman loser friends, his adult friends, and his dad are gathered around the TV.
Why are they gathered?
I have no idea why that group is hanging out together. But
they are.
Breaking news comes on, and it's like we have a story about a principal who accepted bribes from an adult going back to school. And then Norm Macdonald says, "Hold on, it could be someone else."
This is so realistic, though, because the story is so stupid that it definitely would have been covered by all sorts of local news. Like, this is the type of story that would just take off and go viral for at least an hour.
So Principal Anderson's lying about accepting bribes from Billy, and that's how he passed elementary school.
Yeah.
And Brian Madison, still think it should have been William, is furious.
Yeah.
Calls the deal off.
Mm-hmm.
I love Eric, like, stumbles in. Why does everyone look so gloomy?
Right. Comes in at the perfect time.
As if he wasn't, like, waiting for the report to come on.
Yeah.
And he gets the company, says, oh, guess it's a good day for me.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy's going to go back to his old ways.
Yeah, drinking all day, hanging out in the pool, hanging out with the boys.
Probably doing drugs, but we don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty nice. I mean,
bonfire.
Yeah.
It is pretty nice. Like, Billy has tons of resources at his disposal. He's uber rich. He could have taken revenge on Max Anderson. He could have done all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Instead, he just gives up.
He just gives up, yeah.
Kind of like the character in The Puppy Who Lost His Way.
Yeah.
It all ties in. Yeah. He shows up drunk to Veronica's house and invites her to go on a date with him and Jack and Frank to light dog shit on fire. And she says, how about you come in and light dog shit on my carpet? I don't know why that's what she says, but she does. Then he sees the penguin in her house.
Right.
He assumes that she's having an affair with the penguin.
Right. Like, I see what's going on. Sorry to interrupt.
So sorry.
Sorry to interrupt.
It's great.
I like this next scene and like this shot. It starts off, it's her like white sneakers walking through. It's daytime now, walking around the pool. You see just like bottles and crushed cans,
chips and pizza. I don't know.
Just a mess.
Yeah.
She steps over either Jack or Frank. I still don't know which one is which.
Doesn't matter because she gets straight to work.
Yeah.
With a kick.
I knew you would like this scene. She just starts beating the shit out. She punches it. Is it a kick first?
It's a kick first. Yeah, like, and then
we're on her feet. Yeah. And then we get to see the feet being used to kick.
Right.
And hits him, falls into the pool.
Mm-hmm.
She just jumps in.
continues beating his ass. It's really funny. And then I also think, like, it shouldn't be funny, right? I mean, this is, like, no one should be putting their hands on anyone, right? Yeah. It's abuse, right? Violence. But I don't know. There's comedy in it.
Yeah, the friends are drunk. Like, oh, what's happening? Oh, I think they're playing water polo.
Getting in the pool, like, fighting in the pool is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Ben Stiller's wearing a white shirt.
Yeah.
You said Ben Stiller.
Oops. Oops, I did.
Wrong Meyerowitz.
Wrong one.
You were thinking of... I forget Ben Stiller's character's name in that. I know Adam is Danny Meyerowitz. Never mind. It's going to call back to that episode.
Okay.
We're burying the lead, you guys.
We're burying the lead.
Go ahead.
The song.
Well, yeah, I was going to get
to that. Yeah, we're getting there.
We get the fight.
Right.
And then the song.
Right. So, yeah, she beats his ass, and then she is just like, you know, pull it together. Like,
you say you're not a loser. How about you win?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he thinks about it, and then the musical number starts.
Yes,
and you ask yourself, did we need this musical number? And you always answer, absolutely. Terrell, you're shaking your head, no.
No.
Why no?
No, I'm saying, like, you did need it, but I also thought it was funny. I did laugh when he started singing. There's something about, like, random musical numbers that always make me laugh.
And Adam's like...
We need to know that the clown's still alive.
Yeah, we do learn the clown's still alive.
He's been there the whole time.
You need to know that Veronica has a nice rack, I guess.
Right.
That's crucial information.
Mm-hmm.
She is in Lederhosen.
Yeah,
why is she in that?
Because it's a dream sequence.
It's man's fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Adam's like opera-esque singing, like his opera man style. That's fun.
Yeah. Sorry, I never put it together that was a dream for some reason, and even now as a 29-year-old watching this, I thought like that this was a thing that occurred. But if this is a dream, is the clown actually alive or dead?
Right.
He's alive cuz he's at the end.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He is at the end.
But also, the whole thing's just a fever dream, perhaps.
Yeah, the students are there all of a sudden.
Yeah, you get the children's choir.
Juanita is just there, being her best self, bellowing out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, doing like the soulful.
That's a bit of a trope.
Yeah.
That's
what's her line? Like, overcome?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, we'll overcome. So she goes, overcome.
Yeah, that happens in Barb and Star too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, Max, next time you want like a silly movie, I guess maybe wait for it to not be a rental anymore. But I do recommend Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar. Uh-huh. It's so silly.
Noted.
Yeah.
Somehow, I mean, this is a dream, right? We all agree. But somehow, the kids were there, and they got the message to show up at Principal Anderson's house.
There could have been a scene where Billy, like, gets everyone together, let's help me do this.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we get the song.
Yeah, it's presented in the song, yeah. Yes.
I'm glad we don't have that scene.
So, they get Anderson to retract.
Yeah, much. He retracts his statement. Mm-hmm. Says on live TV, he can never escape his fate as the revolting blob.
Yeah. Eric is watching this on the news, and he throws the remote, and it hits the secretary.
Yeah, and then in the next scene, Brian Madison is, this whole thing's a mess. First, the principal says he's bribed, then he's not bribed. Now Eric's secretary's in a coma.
They give Eric's secretary a name.
Joyce.
Very quick.
It makes it so much more funny.
Also, in Eric's office is like a marble statue of himself, nude, but with like the leaf covering his privates.
Mm-hmm.
Great villain.
I wonder what happened to that statue after the production.
Mm-hmm.
So now that Mr. Anderson admitted that it was a fabrication, Brian wants to put Billy back in school. He says the plan's back on.
Mm-hmm.
But Eric already had the company offered to him, right. So he threatens litigation.
Yep. It's a signed contract that they agreed to. So, you know, he's going to take action.
But Billy has a better idea.
Yeah.
Where did Billy learn the words academic and decathlon? Because he comes real quick with, wait, academic decathlon.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Based on what we know about that character, I feel like decathlon would be beyond his vocabulary.
Maybe it was like field day. You remember field day in like elementary school?
Yeah.
Maybe he was thinking that. Maybe he heard it around that.
So do we think that Brian, the dad, ever considered like bringing in an outside hire if he really didn't want Eric to run the company?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about...
Why didn't it just Carl? Carl's obviously the most qualified.
He's the most qualified. I don't understand why he wasn't...
And underrated the best character.
Yeah.
He's not a cutthroat businessman.
And it had to be Billy that gave it to him to show his growth.
Yeah. So Eric says okay, because he's cocky, thinks he can beat Billy.
Mm-hmm.
So
Billy has to go back to school. He has a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, the freshman friends give him like the old physics notes and stuff. He's got to get some books out of his locker, and this is where we meet our final O'Doyle, the boss level O'Doyle.
Yeah, pretty much.
Senior O'Doyle, I guess,
mm-hmm.
Who put like dirt in Billy's locker.
I wrote dung. I thought it was dung.
That's yeah. Yeah. This is our fourth O'Doyle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and Billy said, this O'Doyle, your whole family's going to go down.
Our fourth O'Doyle looks older than Billy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does.
I feel like the Farley character could have been an O'Doyle secretly.
That would have been...
But then I guess it would have been
the ending.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just
redheads, I guess.
So now we get a montage of Billy studying. Starts with Veronica helping him studying by stripping for every time he gets an answer correct. Yeah, strip studying.
Right before she takes her shirt off, he
gets it wrong.
Can't get the dates for the Spanish Armada.
So she gets fully dressed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Very disappointing moment for me as a young boy watching that.
But, I mean, on the flip side, we get Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Later
in the montage, he ends up getting the date for the Armada, but it's Farley stripping.
Which doesn't make any sense. And it just seems like they had Chris and they just wanted to use him for everything.
And then
just so they could
have
the footage.
To take his shirt off yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was the opportunity.
And they did it.
I love the face he makes when he puts his finger in his mouth.
Just the reaction of Sandler shaking his head seems like an honest reaction.
And Sandler's like,
there's a nice hair flip also.
Yes.
Sandler's like trying to hold back a smile. You can tell they're both just having so much fun with it. Yes. It's really a nice scene.
I'm going to say it. Farley looks good.
Farley looks great.
Yeah.
So the Cathlon begins.
The Cathlon begins. We meet, I guess, the high school principal who's overseeing the decathlon, because now we finally get the explanation of how the schools let this all happen. I mean, I guess it was, you could have guessed it, but now we get the line that thanks to a generous donation from Madison Hotels.
So dad is still paying.
Yeah, they built a building. Yeah, exactly.
This just reminded me, I didn't put two and two together before, but like, the dad admits at the very beginning that he was bribing the school system all the way through Billy's first time around. Like, Eric had a lot of material he could have worked with to try and, like, invalidate Billy's kind of and the dad's honesty or integrity. Instead, we get this, like, $5,000 bribe to the elementary school principal, which is nothing compared to, I don't know, huge donations to the school system.
Yeah, what the dad did, yeah.
Yeah. So this principal has adultery in his past. He says everyone play fair, but if someone sleeps with my wife, the tramp, I'm gonna snap.
Yeah. And so it's a montage of like sports.
Yeah. First we get I guess it's like a math thing. They're doing equations, and Eric has the whole blackboard filled. Yeah, Max, you're putting up your finger.
I'm counting. We're at
one in the first decathlon. One. Yeah, and call back to the Minari pod. Billy writes, Eric drinks his own pee on the board.
Aww.
Then home ec. Billy bakes a beautiful pie. Who knew that guy that eats like that? And I don't really believe that he'd be able to bake a pie, but whatever. Eric certainly can. He sets the pie on fire and himself on fire,
which he somehow recovers from totally fine.
That
burns.
He's on complete fire.
Yeah,
and then runs like 100K or something, or 100-meter dash.
Yeah, right after that
scene.
Yeah,
he wins that. Billy wins chemistry because he.
What did they think?
Did they think he conjured a boot? He pulls the boot out of the vat, I guess.
And we gotta stop trying to make sense about these.
But the camera goes down to be like, see, it was his boot. Obviously it was his boot, though. Okay.
We get theater.
We got some Hamlet. Bradley Whitford's like bad Shakespearean acting's pretty funny. Then Billy comes in and cuts him off mid soliloquy. He's got the costume and the skull.
All right.
Some music. Eric's a violin maestro. Billy, I don't know. Misha used to play the clarinet. Can you speak to Billy's musical?
Yeah, this one is one of my favorites because he has the mouthpiece on backwards. You're supposed to use the reed on your tongue to like, which is how you play the instrument, and he's just literally backwards.
Yeah,
and he like has the whole thing in his mouth.
Yeah,
I don't know if you noticed this, but the clarinet was in the scene where Billy invites Veronica into his tent after the third grade graduation party.
I did see a French horn in that tent.
Yeah, the clarinet is standing there as, like, one of the things that Billy wants to use to impress Veronica, that he's so smart. And then we see now he has no idea what he's doing.
Right.
Back to that tent scene, we did gloss over it. What do you think Billy was going to do with those ice cubes and golf clubs?
In the Buffalo.
In the Buffalo.
Yeah, what was the Buffalo?
The stuffed Buffalo.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a wild fantasy.
Who knows?
Now we get the...
The
O'Doyle demise. All the O'Doyles in a car together, just chanting O'Doyle rules.
O'Doyle ruled. That's O'Doyle what they rules, do. Right?
And they, I guess cars, it's like Mario Kart style.
Right.
Slips on a banana peel, goes off a cliff. And they're chanting O'Doyle rules as they're falling.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's very similar to a scene in the movie Rat Race. It always reminds me of it. Yep. Yeah. There's a free-falling car in, like, is Rat Race in the 90s? Must be, right?
Yeah.
2000.
Like 2000? 2000,
2001.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know y'all did that on a previous pod.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
That was a good episode.
I like Rat Race. And then it's the final event, which is like a Jeopardy-style thing where they made this whole board, but they're only going to ask one question to each person.
Mm-hmm.
There's some funny categories on the board. Like half of them have to do with the guys that cheated.
Oh,
I didn't even notice. One of the categories is like My Wife the Tramp, and one of them is like, your wife cheated on you.
Two quick questions here. Why? I feel like it's such a missed opportunity that they just skip from, they do six of the events and they just skip 7, 8, 9 to the final one. Why do you think they do that?
Time, money, they didn't have ideas maybe for the other events.
Yeah.
How many events need to be in a...
10.
That's my other question. Why the heck a decathlon? Like, Billy, they say Billy's up one going into the final event, right, which means it's 5-4 and could end in a tie. Like, what's their plan? Why would they not do something with an odd number? This makes me so mad every time I watch a movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't really end up mattering.
Max, you're such a nerd.
I mean, also, Eric only has like 4 categories to choose from for Billy's question, but Billy gets to choose any category for Eric's question. I don't know. But one of the options for Eric to choose for Billy that Billy really wants him to choose is burning dog poo and the human response. But he ends up having to answer a question in the category of reflections of modern society and literature. The questions about the Industrial Revolution give examples.
Yeah.
Do any of you feel like you would have
a coherent
answer to that question?
I'm trying to think of what book I would bring up, and I can't think of any literature that I've read that ties into the Industrial Revolution.
No, I'm so far removed from that.
Like, the first thing I could think of was Grapes of Wrath, but that's the Dust Bowl. That's different.
Maybe The Jungle? I mean, it's
yeah, but it's, I didn't read that, but...
The aftermath of it.
Right.
You can find a way. On any SAT prompt, like, you go in with, like, I'm going to talk about these two books no matter what the prompt is. I'm just going to find some way to talk about it.
Yeah, I guess Billy did that because he sees Miss Lippy in the audience and he gets the idea to talk about probably the only book he's ever had read to him.
Right.
The Puppy That Lost Its Way.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the dog, the puppy was a dog, but the industry was a revolution.
Yeah, it kind of just talks in circles.
And then we get a line that's reminiscent of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, where he wins over the audience at the end by just saying, Nib High football rules.
Yeah, and then the crowd goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the principal is just like, nothing you said was incoherent.
Yeah.
And we're all dumber for listening to
May
it.
God have, you get 0 points and may God have mercy on your soul.
The fact that he said that we're all dumber for listening to it is so funny. It's so mean.
I mean, I think we're all dumber after watching Billy Madison.
No.
And then it's time for Eric to answer a question, and Billy chooses business ethics.
Right, which should be an easy one for him, right?
For a businessman, yeah.
Right, but he knows that he has no ethics.
Yeah, he's stumbling. See, the ethics are...
And then he pulls out a gun.
Yeah, because that's what ethics are.
That's what it is.
It comes out real fast.
Yeah.
Billy, everyone runs. Everyone runs out of the auditorium, but Billy just stays in his seat, cool and collected.
Yeah, kind of dares him to do it.
Until the gun is pointed at him, where he's like, oh, okay, and he hides behind the chair. But out comes, he's saved by two people who he had a positive effect on throughout the movie or film. revolting blob saves the day.
right?
By, I guess, karate chopping Eric's hand.
Yeah, gives him a nice little elbow.
And then Steve Buscemi comes.
Danny.
And shoots Eric in the butt.
In the butt.
I am so glad I called that guy.
Yeah. And that's when it was made clear that he wasn't going to kill Billy. And mm-hmm. that Billy was...
Yeah.
And his
kill
good
Billy.
Yeah, kill Billy.
Veronica hugs Billy. There was this ongoing thing where Billy kept trying to touch her butt.
And but he finally got to do
now
it.
Now he finally touches her butt.
Yeah.
So, big win.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get a speech at the end. I know you might think a 27-year-old graduating high school, that's not a big deal, but it was for me, so shut up. Woohoo High School.
Woohoo.
Woohoo me.
Woohoo me.
Or I think it's Yahoo, actually.
Yahoo.
Yeah. This is where we learn that he's giving the company to Carl.
And he's going to college to become a teacher.
Become a teacher, which could still be a sequel.
Yeah.
They could still do that. And Billy hugs Max Anderson, Principal Anderson.
Mm-hmm. This was wild.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
He's still horny.
Full on gropes him in yeah. front of everybody.
It's more than a grope.
It's like it's full body, like get off me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone's just standing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Veronica says, "You think he's horny?" And then kisses him.
Yeah, they finally get their kiss.
And then we get a series of kisses.
Mm-hmm.
Norton McDonald's character kissing the lunch lady.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Lippy and the clown.
Yeah.
The two high school losers and the mucus queen.
And the mucus queen.
The one friend that's not Norm McDonald tries to kiss the chlorophyll girl, but she turns him down.
Yeah.
Juanita and Steve Buscemi.
Yeah. Heavy, too.
Very heavy.
Very heavy.
And drum roll, please.
And the funniest pairing, and they're like frolicking in a field, is Chris Farley and the penguin.
It's so perfect. It's just the match made in heaven.
It's perfect. He sucks on the beak. It ends with him getting a handy from the penguin. They were just having so much fun. They were just like, go do your thing.
Yeah, that's actually the last note I have, is just Farley and Penguin.
Yeah.
I think it just ends there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I bought a penguin suit in high school because of that penguin. I don't think I still have it, but the penguin is just so great.
I just like the way that they wrap up. First of all, it's an 89-minute comedy that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
An 89-minute comedy that took 2 hours to talk about. Or, no, 92 minutes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not so bad.
Right.
But love the runtime. It doesn't overstay its welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a nice way to finish a comedy with just a series of callbacks. They take all the small characters and let them have little moments.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this character that made you laugh. Remember this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's Billy Madison.
So, here's the question.
Here's the question, guys.
Is Billy Madison a movie or a film? Misha, you go first.
I will be pretty surprised if we don't all agree that it is a very funny movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Billy Madison is a very rewatchable movie.
It's a movie.
It is a movie.
It's a movie.
We did it.
Yeah.
On the Patreon,
movie.
Where we go over all the stuff we watched this week, we are going to be playing the Is It a Movie or Film game for every single thing we watch. That's the little bonus content.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, that's patreon.com/moviefilmpod to join the movie film fam.
I'll only won't say it's a movie or a film if it's something that we might do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Whatever. We're on Twitter at Movie Film Pod. Same handle for all of our social media.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us moviefilmpod@gmail.com, but really just visit patreon.com/moviefilmpod.
Yep.
We appreciate the support. And We'll be back next week. What are we doing next week?
Oh, awesome. Great. Finally. I've been building this one up, and Nate cracked it last week.
Yeah, after we stopped recording, I accurately guessed
it. Yeah, so no fun. But for you guys, we will be doing Eraserhead. David Lynch Eraserhead.
And that is next week on... Are you two prepared to participate in this part again? Cool. Next week on Movie.
Film.
Oh, wait. I forgot to thank them for being on the podcast. Unplugged. Do you have any plugs?
I have no plugs.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. And happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday.
Love you.
Happy birthday.